Welcome back to Retail Therapy. My name is Will DeFries. Today in the studio, we have the recently married Barrett Dudley. Barrett, congratulations.
Thank you. That's right. Nothing was ever quite the same. Every episode, you know, from here on out, it's just gonna hit different because I'm wearing a new little piece of jewelry here.
I actually think that ring, it's not on my in-out list for today, but I think it could be, is just male rings. Uh-huh. But I'm not talking like wedding rings, obviously. But
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You could collect a few more on there.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Wearing this ring, the ease with which I adapted to having this ring on my finger, it opened the door, I think, to becoming a multi-ring wearer.
Okay.
I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it did.
Well, as you can see, I am not currently wearing mine, as I don't wear mine all that often unless I'm going out or, you know, going to be in front of people.
Yeah. So what is your, like, where do you keep your ring? Do you have like a cute little ring dish on your nightstand?
No. Yes. Yes, I do. I usually just put it on my bedside table and it just kind of sits there. And the only person that ever moves it is my son, who brings it to me and puts it on my finger every time, which is fine.
Yeah.
But when we were in Tennessee and we did our pottery class, I inadvertently made a little ring dish when I was trying to make a bowl. So now I have a homemade.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, that's right. That's fresh.
But yeah, my rule for myself is that if I'm going out and I'm going to like a dinner or if I'm going to be out doing something, I always have it on.
Okay.
But I also don't love wearing it like in bed, so I usually take it off and put it on my bedside table.
Yeah, I've not been sleeping in it yet, so it is finding itself on the nightstand most nights.
Yeah.
It also might be slightly too loose, so I'm a little concerned about you know, how quickly I lose this thing. But
I lost mine last week. I put it on my bedside table, did not know where it was, searched everywhere. I alerted all the authorities besides one that I had lost my wedding ring, so if anyone could, you know, keep an eye out. And the one person who I didn't want to find out that I lost it, she's the one who found it.
Uh-huh,
and so it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Well, I'm glad it was recovered.
You know,
that's the important thing.
Well, I was very happy with your tuxedo performance at your wedding.
Thank you.
I was very happy with everything at the wedding, honestly. From the playlist, we got bonus saxophone vibes on the dance floor, which is never something I turn down. You didn't tell anyone about the live saxophone player. Or really the late night espresso martini bar.
No. Those were things that we wanted to have as like little, you know, surprises. Mm-hmm. Among others were like the dogs walking the aisle.
That was nice.
The matchbooks with the line drawings, which, believe me when I tell you that, yes, I did pull up the Randy Get Ready, like Amelie Ondor and Drake's caricatures as the inspo for those.
You know, I've always wanted to do one for Sunday Scaries or Retail Therapy.
That's the type of vibe that I wanted. And for those, and then, yeah, the espresso martinis and the live saxophonist accompanying the DJ for the first nominally hour of the dance party.
And
yeah,
I know-
so that, those were all fun little like, okay, that's, you know, we wanted people to be doing that's a nice touch thing. Yeah.
It was a nice touch also. I know you're from Houston, you had the wedding in Austin, but you still managed to fit in, still tip and play in, during the ceremony, which was a really, really nice thing.
That's right. Yeah. That was totally planned. Yeah. Just handed a dude that was sitting outside on South Congress. He was in a donk, you know, big old, what are the choppers on blades?
I think you might be asking the wrong source here.
I said, just roll by real slow, playing a chopped and screwed version of Still Tipping while I'm trying to say my vows. Yeah.
It was a beautiful moment.
Here's a little, we had the other thing that we were really happy with is kind of like as an alternative to a photo booth, we had Instax cameras on all of the tables.
Yep.
And then an envelope to drop the results in. I think some people did kind of lift theirs, and that's okay. We got enough, and pretty soon, you know, you might be finding yourself with a little digitized version to share on.
So you're saying that
on your soch.
If we attempted to steal the Polaroid ourselves, we were being shamed. I attempted to steal this one, this very one you have on the screen. I attempted to steal it and somebody like walked over and said, no, put that in the envelope. And I was like, I was so shocked by the aggressive nature of being told to put it in the envelope that I simply knew like, they might have like a metal detector on the way out. That's if you have these on you.
Yeah. So, excited to share those. Another obvious thing that we had had in the works for many months in advance that we were really planning is for producer Randy to Juby slide for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice little performance that we had going.
Glad I could help.
No, of course it was big. It was big for everybody. This was great. The full rig was the Suit Supply Custom, which overall I thought like I loved the way it fit and how it all shook out. I'm gonna throw a little salt at Suit Supply.
Okay.
For the way that the pickup and the final alterations were handled.
Oh.
Yeah. It left me with a kind of sour taste in my mouth because I went in and I got fitted by a guy, like a sales rep, an associate there, who I really liked, who I thought understood exactly what I was going for. He's the one that helped me fit the suit and like dialed it all in and like took care of everything there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I tried to make two different appointments with him to come in and pick up the suit. And like one time they canceled because he wasn't even working that day that I made the appointment. And then the second time he was like, hey, just hang out for 15 minutes. My other appointment is running long. And then like 2 minutes later, some other dude swooped in, was like, here's your suit, try it on. And I like was kind of trying to talk about some things that I had already talked about with the first guy. And he was, and the second guy, he didn't know what the hell I was talking about. So he was like, no, that's fine.
Don't worry about that. This is like handing off a haircut. Like, no, you can't do a mid tailoring handoff.
And so I know that this is like, I'm probably like these guys are sales reps. They are going to prioritize making the sales over like finishing ones that they've already, that's already been paid for, right? But like, you could round out that experience a little bit better.
I'm actually checking Dumois right now, and it says local Austin podcaster fuming at Suit Supply.
But just, you know, like finish it up, man. Finish the job.
Yeah.
So I never saw this guy again.
Was it the dude with the glasses?
No, was one of the ones that helped me wrap it all up.
Yeah.
That was my only complaint. My shirt, I went with, that's like the one, people were very kind of surprised. I had multiple people come up to me and say that they were surprised I had gone so traditional. They thought either that I'd go like midnight navy or a little bit, or do something more interesting than the very classic black. The one thing that was like not noticeable to the naked eye is I went with this, with a fly front shirt from Eton. That was warm white instead of solid white.
I like that.
And I just thought that gave it like, it kind of like, it mirrored the color of Laura's wedding dress a little bit better. It didn't look so crisp. And I thought it was a nice way to just like, just have this slightly different kind of elevation.
I like that.
Yeah.
Switching from a shirt that requires studs to a shirt that is flat front for me has changed everything about how I operate in terms of getting ready.
Yeah.
It makes things so much more straightforward. I personally like how it looks on me more than I like the other things. And it's just, it has really made my life easier. But if we have time today, I want to go into some more black tie stuff in a little bit. Before we get into today's episode, some announcements. Our YouTube channel is back, so go check that out. YouTube.com/SundayScariesPodcast. Go subscribe there. We put all the episodes up. Barrett's a maestro on the old screen over here. We also have retail.pod on Instagram. Go follow. I will commit to keeping up on my listener companions on Substack. I'm sorry that I've been so bad about it lately. It's been a busy time with Barrett getting married and everything.
It has, yeah.
And we did miss last week's episode. Barrett was down with a cold. We were up against it, and it was like, you know what, Barrett, you're still on your little mini moon.
Yeah,
let yourself enjoy yourself. Yeah. But today's episode. Oh, and a major announcement. Retail Therapy Candles back in stock.
Mm.
So if you want to go get one, they are fully in stock right now. So I have no qualms about promoting that. You will be able to get one if you go there right now. Velabox.com/SundayScaries. Again, Velabox.com/SundayScaries.
You have to think that if you bought on the original drop, probably time to re-up.
Probably is.
I gotta imagine that you're at the bottom of that ceramic.
We have been burning this one in the studio for such a long time, and I think it's over the 60 hours that we promised out of these things, or 40 hours, I forget, somewhere up there.
Yeah,
it's in the tens.
We should bump that down to like 30 hours, just so people
blow
have to,
people's minds.
Yeah, yeah,
it feels good to under promise and over deliver. Speaking of over-delivering, let's hear from our friends over at Shopify. When we started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing from our mind, but now we're selling stuff. Got some Sunday Scaries boxer shorts dropping in the near future. You got to go check those out. And it's so easy, all because we use Shopify. If you're buying something from us, know that it's going through Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from your launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. So whether you're selling scented candles to offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere with their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has you covered. Shopify is so easy to use. It's so easy to update your products. It's so easy to use their plugins, which are just insanely vast. They have so many different ones. But I have no coding experience, and I can go in, I can edit the website, I can make it look good, and I can make it as advanced or dumbed down as I want to. They power over 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and they're a global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/scaries, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/scaries now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Again, that's shopify.com/scaries. I think this is long overdue, Barrett. It's time for some spring in and outs.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that it's long overdue. I mean, we're not even in spring yet.
No, right? It's long overdue. It's March.
It's time. There's no doubt about that.
I feel less pressure in the spring than I do at the end of the year. I feel like the end of the year, we need to encompass a lot. Yeah. I feel like in the spring, we can get a little more loose with it.
A little more loose, maybe not quite as many. This is really just kind of like a check-in. Maybe add some things and take away some things. I was looking back at our last list.
So I'm pulling those up right now because I want to see if there's anything from there that sticks out for you.
Yeah.
That you're like, okay, crush that. Or like, oh, I was totally off on that. Let me see. Okay. I've got our lists up. I actually have a couple that I've isolated that I think were great calls for me. And then I have one that was a terrible call from me.
Okay. Give me a sec. Let me pull these up on the screen for our YouTube watchers. This was our year end in and out, right?
It's the pinned post on our Instagram right now.
So here we go. Here it is.
I feel a little bad, but boiler room sets, they're popping up more and more in my everywhere, my universe. I feel very, very comfortable saying that I will probably attend one in the near future, and I can't wait for it. I will also say
Do you have your eye on a specific boiler room set? Like,
no.
Are you like, you have tickets to like a Fred Again set?
I wish I did.
You know, in like Montreal or something?
I think I referenced them on a podcast recently, Berlioz. I think that's how you say it. Berlioz.
Okay.
They're kind of like a jazz ensemble that does a little more like electronic stuff.
Okay.
They did one in Dallas that I wish I could have made, but it was on a Monday night after a travel weekend for me. So I would have had to turn around and go to Dallas.
Yeah.
I will say that Matrix level leather, I'm seeing leather everywhere. And I think I even have leather pants on my ins for this week. And what was it? I had one that I was beating myself up over. I was wrong on navy blue being out.
Okay.
I said navy blue is going to be out. And not only am I seeing more and more navy, I'm personally wearing more and more navy. But number 10 on my outlist was portrait mode. And all reports are that the young generation is just completely out on it.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with that. And I'm now scrolling past portrait mode just straight to photo.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Just I'm going to pull a couple from yours just to talk about. The one that you'll see echoed on mine today that you're spot on with is analog. And I'll get to what I pulled out from there later. And then just to piggyback on your Matrix level leather, who could have foreseen the tour de force that the Dune press tour is putting on?
Right?
I mean, it's unprecedented, the level of fits that Austin Butler, Zendaya, Timothy Chalamet,
crazy.
And Florence Pugh are like pulling off at every single stop. I mean, they're getting absolutely freaky with it.
Zendaya's robot fit will own a lot of real estate in my head.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think that fit, that thing alone, the one that she wore, obviously, like, what do you think that would fetch at auction right now?
An insane amount. That needs to be in a Planet Hollywood in 1994.
Timmy's wearing all sorts of stuff. He's doing like full Hermes kits and like God knows what else, full leather insanity. It's quite a show.
It's amazing.
It's really quite a
show. I really didn't think that in 2024 we'd have Mob Wife and leather, like, you know, fur coats and leather going off.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yeah, but all that to say, I think that the Dune press tour is like amping up the amount of leather that we're seeing on our
it's the opposite of the Madame Web press tour
on our feeds. That's correct. Yeah. Just to look through mine, let's see. I don't think I have any comments here.
I mean, Brown is on every single news site right now. If you have an option to buy something on any site that we've talked about, you have the option to buy it in Brown at this point.
That's true. That is true.
Specialized groceries. I've been making some pan sausage from a local farmer lately, and I'm very happy with it. I'm back on my meat grind, so maybe meat should be in for me.
The one that I'll call out here that I had on my in list that I'm cooling on is Hidden New York. And I think shortly after I posted this or we did this episode, a link dropped for the Hidden New York Discord feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I jumped in there just to see what it's all about.
I'm scared. You're braver than me.
And it's the most obnoxious thing on the like that I've ever encountered as far as online communities go.
That clears.
Yeah. And not just the people in it who I think are what you would have expected, but like the mods. Like I don't know how familiar y'all are with Discord, but like it's like an unspoken rule that you only utilize at like adding everyone like very sparingly, like emergencies or serious announcements only, stuff that you feel very confident everybody will want to hear about. You know, let's say like a 70% off sale, maybe something like that. That would qualify, right? Or an announcement that your store is closing or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. They mash that everyone button like there's no tomorrow.
It's just some marketing director at some like brand that's just like don't care. Like I'm just trying to put numbers on the board right now.
Yeah, pretty much. So I've cooled on them a little bit. The Discord has done the opposite of what it was supposed to. It's actually made me less interested in purchasing anything from them.
That clears.
Yeah,
that clears.
So
let's get into this current iteration of our in and out list. I have fewer outs today than I've had in a really long time, but I also feel like I can justify these in a much more aggressive way. So I don't have any that I'm scared of right now.
Okay. Do you want me to just pop up your whole list
right now? Sure. Yeah. Can we pop up both of them right now?
We can pop up both of them. Yeah. Let's put them up here.
I think it should be pretty straightforward. Again, I don't know how confident I am in some of these, but I want to at least bring them to the table to talk them out with you.
Yeah.
And I do you want me to start off with my first one? My first one is simply Derek Guy driven. It's tailoring as an interest, but not as just like, oh, it's cool to get things tailored now. It's always been cool to get things tailored. But I feel like more and more now, guys are actually like very interested in going to a tailor and making sure that their good stuff looks good on them. And I feel like that's not something off the rack was always something that we were all like kind of addicted to or like something we were just becoming accustomed to because everything was doing that. And what's the word? Like, just the direct-to-consumer nature of like everything we buy lately kind of took away from that. And I truly feel like Twitter shoving Derek Guy down our throats has made people who would normally not care about those things actually care and think about that for once.
Yeah.
And I'm in on it. I like that. I like it as a thing.
So I do think that and he certainly is a piece of the puzzle here as to what something that I feel like is happening in menswear and men's fashion. And so I'll piggyback there and I'll jump to the last thing on my in list, which is just dressing nice.
Yeah.
My view here is heavily skewed by a lot of things, both cultural and in my own personal life. You mentioned the Derek Guy thing. I also spent the last 6 to 8 months basically like looking at suits, tuxedos, walking in and out of Suit Supply and getting ready for events that required me to wear tailoring and to do that type of thing. But I'm also like, I have loafers that I like now. I was always previously out.
This is a revelation that I was not aware of. What loafers are you into now?
Well, so I over the fall and winter, I was able to wear like the Doc Martin Adrian kind of green tassel loafers
I wore to the Derby. Yeah.
And back in May, I wore those several times. And then I picked up a pair of like black leather kilty loafers from Our Legacy that I wore to my rehearsal dinner that I'm very, very, very much feeling. And I think like when throwing fits in 2019 or 2020 or whatever, like declared that it was a post sneaker world, mm-hmm. right? And they started wearing a shitload of loafers. They were doing fit. They were wearing them in ways that I still don't like. Like, I never was into like the mesh shorts with loafers thing or the Patagonia baggies with loafers thing. And even when they were like dressing them up a little bit, it still felt like overly vintage Ralph Lauren prep to me.
Yeah.
And now I just I feel like we have found ways to dress things up or wear tailoring in like a freakier way. There's just like more. Like, there's more things you can do with it. You don't have to be as, it doesn't, you can wear loafers, you can dress nice, you can do different things in a way that now feels fashionable rather than like nostalgic for a different aesthetic. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I also truly think, and this is just based on living in Texas for almost 9 years now, I really think that there's a divide with loafers between southern states and northern states. I feel like northerners are more accustomed to wearing loafers in certain situations. It's like topsiders came down to Texas and were like kind of tipped as being this fraternity life thing. Whereas like a lot of people that just live near water are like, they don't look at it that way. It's just a normal shoe. And like, but I do think people were shoehorning in loafers with just like things that you probably shouldn't be wearing $700 loafers with.
Right.
And
right.
that does feel like disingenuous isn't the word, but it's just like, you're doing a lot and you're okay. You're accepting that you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
I would love to bust out my loafers, my favorite ones in every different way, but I am hesitant to just because they are so dressy that I don't
want the rest of my loafers.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't want to, honestly, I'll just skip to it. My wish list today is a pair of loafers that I can wear more casually, uh-huh. that I can beat up and not feel like, and I don't want to wear my black nice loafers everywhere because I still want to be able to wear them to a black tie wedding or something. I want them to be my nice shoes, but I also love them so much that I want to wear them in normal situations. But like dressing nice, I no longer really wear like the joggers and the stuff like that I was wearing for so long into the office when I was feeling lazy and stuff. I just really truly enjoy putting on a pair of pants more than I used to.
So this is the longest I think I'll talk about something is this one. So it's nice to get it out of the way. But like that's another piece of this. I think as the years go on, especially now in 2024, we just feel even more officially like out of the pandemic doldrum.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the idea of looking sharper, of getting dressed up, is becoming like more and more attractive again. Let me see if I can pull up. I just tried to share this to my computer.
When it comes to menswear, I feel like there's such a pressure to have dope pants at this point that like it kind of naturally kills the casual like run errands around town pants that we were so used to wearing during a time when everyone started working from home or just like lounging around all the time.
Yeah.
And like now I think about pants more than I've ever thought about pants because of the nature of it. Like you just mentioned the throwing fits guys, they have so many memes about pants and it kind of tipped me off like, shit, like, yeah, I don't really have like dope pants. I got to up my game a little bit.
I mean, yeah, pants are everything. We talk about it on the podcast as well. did you happen to read the article from the Jonah Weiner, the Blackbird spy plane guy?
I read a little bit of it.
New Yorker, New York Times. I can't remember which.
I read a little bit of it today, but I did not read the whole thing. But as I was reading it, I was like, yeah, this all checks out. This is a good look at pants right now.
It's a quote, not even from him. He pulls a quote from like 2021. That's from a tweet, I think. And it's basically like somebody describing pants. And he's like, the pants that you hate, that you think look silly and stupid, those are the pants that you want to be wearing
right now.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pull up this from, this was a post that I saved from Forward. And I just like, this kind of epitomized like, this looks fresher to me now. Like I know that this has like some hallmarks of aesthetics and things that I haven't loved in the past, right? Like when we were trying to do like the JFK like knit polos 3 years ago, I bought one. I never wore it.
I have one that I've worn twice.
But you also have like your mesh Abercrombie or your mesh ALD one, mm-hmm. that's like that totally fits in with the narrative that I'm going for right now.
Yeah.
I Bonobos just sent me two, which I love. I think they're amazing. I'm excited to wear them. But the pants here, again, like the pants are cool and different. They don't feel like I can't peg those from like you know, a 1993 Nautica ad, mm-hmm. nor can I say that they're like definitely Bodhi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they just, I just think that they're, that we're finding ways to make this kind of look, to make this more elevated look feel interesting and not necessarily like we're desperate to go live in either the 1960s or the 1990s.
It feels good to not recreate J. Crew catalogs from like my high school days.
Not that's a bad thing either. It just was never for me. And then the last thing that I'll throw on top of this is obviously like as we continue to get older, like the idea of like streetwear heavy fits, I think becomes less attractive.
Yeah.
And this kind of, you know, that this signals something different, which I think is probably something that we're going for as we, you know, get older and are doing different things.
But if you want to talk streetwear heavy fits, I have in my non-soccer sponsor heavy jerseys. I think the lad core that was running through everything has now transitioned to everything from bike jerseys to motocross to whatever your heart desires. I mean,
we're in full jersey territory. We're at peak jersey, I think. We're coming up close on it.
Peak fake sponsor. Like the Ladcore stuff, like the Palace Umbro, you and I have been exchanging text messages about it. Like it just drives home that it's great. And like I thought it was cyclical for a little bit, but now I'm just realizing it's not really sick. It's cyclical in that like we have World Cups every 4 years and we have a renewed interest in a lot of soccer. I just think that like all these brands like Umbro that we grew up with, I would think that anyone who grew up wearing Umbro shorts would love to see Umbro come back in a huge way, which they seem to be doing.
Yeah.
I love this stuff. It like gives me the vibe of Real Madrid with Napoli with English stuff. It's just a beautiful collaboration for me.
I feel like what's happening here is yes, jerseys and like jerseys from brands have finally broken through. Mm-hmm. But I have to believe that is coinciding with this nostalgia for 90s football that I think guys like you and me that like played soccer growing up remember. You know? Like this type of kind of crew neck pullover that's got like this kind of almost awkwardly boxy fit.
Yeah.
Like sleeves that are way too baggy.
Dude, I love it. Right, I love
like
it.
That, yeah. Like that.
I love it.
It's very, very nostalgic for us. I can picture like my soccer trainers from Bear Creek United, like wearing stuff like this.
I posted it on my Instagram, but Classic Football Kits UK, which is probably the single best place to go find like retro vintage stuff. They posted a Newcastle training top that their photos of it just made it look so buttery. It was like just the thick material. It was like just well maintained over the years. And I'm sure it was $400 when they listed it on the site, but it sold out before I could even see.
Yeah.
But like I've just been lusting over it. Like I have such a want. Like I told you, I'm going to be out of town when this Umbro Palace stuff drops. I might need you to get me a crew neck.
I mean, I'm going to try to help you. I think this stuff is going to absolutely fly.
Well, find a bot. Like, find a bot for me, Barrett.
I really quite like this insane jersey here, but I just want this kind of like Argentinian colored Palace Umbro hat.
Thank you for saying Argentina and not like Manchester City.
And I think you probably like this crew neck right here.
Love it all. I honestly didn't see the white one until I was looking through some vibe photos on Instagram and I fell in love with that. It's just tough.
Yeah, this is a good drop. Yep. This is a cool drop. This is peak jersey. We're here and I mean, right, that's the thing. It's like there's always the yin and the yang. So like the fact that it's happening at the same that we're going full fake sponsor, fake jersey, all that soccer shirt, everything, and at the same time, it seems like loafers and like a dressier look and dressing nice.
If I'm on the town,
is more popular than ever. It's like those two things coexisting is not actually surprising.
If I'm on the town, I'm wearing loafers and some nice pants. If I'm day drinking, or lounging on my couch, I'm wearing sponsor heavy stuff as if I'm an athlete.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you want to tackle?
I'll drop right into the first in that I wrote down, which is just sweaters on skin.
Love it.
I probably could have just included that one in dressing nice, but I think it's a little bit broader or maybe a little bit more specific actually. Point being, you don't have to be dressing nice to wear to wear a sweater or a piece of knitwear on top of nothing.
Yeah.
So extra points if it's like got a collar or a V-neck or has like a little bit of a looser neck. The thing about this is like you can see a little bit of jewelry, you can see a little bit of skin, and if you're wearing something with nothing underneath, if you're wearing a piece of knitwear with nothing underneath, do you know what that means about that piece of knitwear?
No, that's just luxurious as fuck.
That it's ultra comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah,
because you can't just throw on any old regular lamb's wool sweater on top of nothing, or you're gonna be in H-town.
The amount of times that I put on my cashmere hoodie with no shirt on underneath it is just like it's the most comfortable thing you can do, and I just love it.
It's a look that I love, but it's also just a concept that I really like right now.
Mm-hmm. I've got party tats on there. Do you know what this means?
This means going to a party where you get a tattoo at the party.
No,
right?
That would be tight. That would be cool.
Like some dude is at the party doing like stick and pokes.
The way that I'm looking at this is, and this was coined by one of my buddies, so I'm gonna hat tip him here. But it's like there's no rhyme or reason to the tattoos all over you. These look like you were partying and you were like, I'm gonna go get this tattoo right now.
Okay.
And so you just have a random littering. And I don't think this is a new thing, but like I honestly feel like if you're not getting tattoos in this style right now, which you should never be getting tattoos based on what's cool and what's not, because they are extremely permanent from what I've read. But I feel like the cool way to have tattoos is like the sporadic stuff all over your arms that is so small that in a photo you can't see what it is. And like there's only two colors that the cool kids are having on the Instagram these days, just black or red.
Yeah. The young people at the Haller Brothers HQ, this is the type of tattoos that they have.
Yeah.
And they'll just like pop up on like, you know, on a Monday with like a new like random ass thing on their calf or on the inside of their arm. And it's like, oh yeah, I just got this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, felt like.
Oh, this permanent thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just it's like very nonchalant. Not super thought, like, you know.
I don't have that in me.
No, I don't either.
I've been planning a tattoo for like 6 months, and by planning, I mean I emailed one person who's now moving.
I think you should just go to the old classic, the old stalwart, which is just getting like your children's names in like a dead monk language.
Yeah.
Down your back, like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I did see I think it was The Cut or somebody associated with The Cut talking about tramp stamps the other day.
Okay.
And how they think with all the nostalgia from the early 2000s that they might be making a comeback.
I was listening to the Sirius XM channel called Lithium the other day, which is like very like 90s grunge, and like it one of the people talking, or one of the little like kind of like advertisements or whatever between the songs for the radio station, was like, for people that have a fading tribal tattoo. And I like just thinking about how, even if you don't get tattoos based on what's popular, like the style of tattoos does change. Like what's in vogue, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So like eventually, like it, you know, having like a full, you know, Japanese or Sailor Jerry style sleeve at some point will probably date you to like, oh, you got that in 2016.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, and the stick and poke stuff and the kind of random party tat look, like, we'll date you to the 2020s eventually, I'm sure.
Oh, it will.
Yeah.
It definitely will. I could see tattoos just being, I could see like 3 years from now, I could see people just never getting tattoos.
Yeah. Are we going through ins? I think we're going through ins first.
Let's go through the ins first.
All right. I'm going to pop over. I'm going to go location-based. I'm going to go a little travel.
Love it.
Yeah. The Swiss Alps.
You seeing Alps content?
I'm seeing so much Alps content combined with one of my favorite shows of this year so far, Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime, which is just absolute vibes.
No spoilers. I'm not done.
I'm not either.
I love it. I love it, though.
But I think the most recent episode that I watched was the one where they're
in the Alps.
In the Alps, skiing. A couple of influencers that I follow. One's a model / influencer, and her husband is a photographer. It's Carrie Wheeler and his wife, who I only know is her Instagram name, which is Wealthy Belly. I'm not sure how you're supposed to say it. But they are dumping absolute like hot fire Alps content right now.
I don't think Italy's out, but I feel like people are wanting to travel to Europe to go to other places that are not the Italian coast.
Yeah.
Portugal.
Yeah. And I will also, I'll just throw in when I've talked to friends that are kind of like that have kids and are doing yearly ski trips again, like they're just constantly complaining about the price. And like one of the things that everybody loves to say right now, because it is true, is that It is much cheaper to go ski in the Swiss
Alps. Is it like the Taylor Swift stuff where it's cheaper to go to see her concert in Brazil than it is to go in New York?
You have to get there and it's a much longer flight and you're dealing with jet lag. And so obviously there are a bunch of other hurdles that probably even out the playing field. But the fact is the European ski look, it's just better than... Colorado and Rockies now.
It's like, awesome.
Right? Like, guess what nobody is doing in the Swiss Alps? Wearing a Tony Romo jersey over there, like their ski parka. You know what I mean? Like,
I saw a lot of CJ Stroud jerseys when we were in Breckenridge.
Like, there's something that's a little bit more old world about it.
Yeah.
As you might expect.
Pukki and Jet are over in Italy right now.
Are they really?
Yeah, they just launched their Italy trip on Instagram about an hour ago.
The number of people, I don't know what's happening with Italy. I honestly don't. Like the number of people that are going to Italy this year is absolutely staggering.
I'm lumped in that group of people.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean that's they're going for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and I fear that reason is Instagram.
So, the Swiss Alps are quickly rushing to the top of my list. I think that they are very in. I think that Switzerland. I think that Geneva in spring and summer. You might see some content from around those parts when the weather warms up a little bit. But Switzerland hot right now.
I'm in
ski season.
I'll go.
Swiss Alps. Nice vibe. Go watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
It's such a good show.
Yeah.
It's got the vibes off the chart.
But I mean, there, yeah.
I'm not going to spend much time on this because we already talked pants a little bit, but saying skinny jeans are back with no intention of wearing skinny jeans. No one's saying they're like back, but like, I feel like it's on people's radars. And I'm like, you're never going to do this. Like, this is not something you will be partaking in. People are just saying it because they don't want to wear baggy pants.
I think they don't. Yeah. I think they don't want to wear baggy pants. And I also think that now that we are, now that the pendulum has swung all the way back and everybody's more online than ever and fashion has more like is getting more coverage than ever, it feels like. I think and you're going to see this in a lot of different places, but people are just rushing to quote unquote be ahead of the curve again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
it's the circle of life from the Blackbird spy plane thing today.
Right.
Seeing that column today, I was like, this is very opportune.
So like, yeah, you're way too early. You're going to be waiting to get into the skinny pants club for like another 4 years at the minimum.
I put on some of my
it doesn't swing that fast. You know, like takes years. So
I put on some pants the other day that I hadn't worn in probably 2 years, and they are much slimmer fitting than the stuff I've been wearing lately. And I looked at myself in the mirror and was just like, no,
yeah, right,
no, I don't want to do this. I don't want these on. I had to go pivot and wear a pair of pants that was baggier that I'd never wear anymore because I don't like them very much. But I was like, it's just more comfortable. I feel better looking down at my feet. I have 80s mob feeling dinner spots. I feel like this was started. What's that Italian restaurant that everyone goes to in New York? Carbone. I feel like it was started with Carbone making like Italian food like Instagrammable again. And now it's just people wanting to go to like not like hole in the wall spots, but it's almost like the dive bar version of a restaurant. Like it's more fun to go to places that are like it's the red light aesthetic. It's the dark and moody stuff. It's all that. I just feel like people want to go to dinners that feel more haunty than they feel are like the Instagram clean aesthetic like that we all had from 2012 to 2019.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean Austin, you know, lords of the food and beverage industry, MML, they can do both.
They can do both.
Get you a man that can do both. Mm-hmm. Get you a restaurant group that can do both.
But it's like the old school martini glasses. Like it's just like those little tiny touches that make you feel like you're somewhere that has history behind it, as opposed to just like the new, like the most popular new like restaurant in town. That's like some high end Miami feeling place. I feel like that people aren't going to gravitate towards that as much as some more homey feeling place these days. And I'm very in line with that.
I think the vibe and the spot, the style of restaurant that you're describing kind of fits in with the dressing nice thing,
it's like,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like wanting to be old money or feel old money without like actually being it. like it kind of just makes you feel like you're like something.
Something it feels a little bit more worn in, feels like it's maybe it's been there for a while. It's got a little bit of a patina on it. Mm-hmm. And like when I think of like the kind of like very bright white, clean aesthetic of some of the restaurants that we probably have in our mind right now. Sure, you could dress nice to those places, but the vibe that I'm thinking about, like the look that I'm thinking of, is a little bit more, like leans a little bit more towards like a matching sweatsuit.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying I'm out on. I'm just saying
I would love to do a matching sweatsuit to an Italian restaurant soon.
Hey, I'm gonna make it a tracksuit and then you'll fit in at the mob spot as well.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I told us that we couldn't get to 40 minutes with only doing one ad read because I know we get long-winded on this.
We do.
Before we do anything, I want to talk about our friends over at Green Chef. You can elevate your everyday wellness with the number one meal kit for clean eating and discover new gut-friendly recipes each week. Green Chef's new gut and brain health meal options include mouth-watering array of nutritious dinners, clean snacks, and functional drinks crafted to actively support the well-being of your gut and enhance cognitive health. You know I'm a kombucha boy. I love my gut health. I'm always worried about that kind of stuff. And now I can enjoy nutrient-dense, science-backed gut and brain health recipes developed in partnerships with registered dietitians that improve digestion, they reduce bloat, as well as boost everyday energy and immunity. I've gotten so much Green Chef in the mail, and it's always a very, very welcome package. What you get is just all the stuff, and it feels like you went to the store. It arrives. It looks great. The stuff's in paper bags. It literally feels like you went to the store, and all the produce is always so fresh that it's honestly shocking to me that it's been like sent to me. It's incredible. You can choose from over 80-plus flavor-packed options, including their calorie-smart recipes and wellness bundles every week, and you can just build healthy habits with the easy way. I'll say this. As somebody who just had a second child, we were ordering in a lot, and this stuff has saved me.
Yeah.
Like, it makes it so much easier to just do everything, and especially with, I mean, I don't want to say that I have dietary restrictions because they're self-imposed, but even doing like a Mediterranean diet or a pescatarian diet, they can mix and match anything for you.
And it's much like you're cooking, but it's much faster than a regular cook.
Yes.
Because everything's ready to go for you. It takes a lot of the prep work out of it. But you're still using fresh ingredients, making yourself a home cooked meal. And so it's really nice when you need to save a little time.
You're not taking all your green onions and shoving them back into a bag and then letting them go bad over the time.
Perfect,
you're putting every single thing in that pot and you're making a good meal. Go to greenchef.com/60scaries and use code 60scaries to get 60% off plus 20% off of your next 2 months. Again, that's greenchef.com/60scaries using code 60scaries to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, number one meal kit for eating well. Let's dip back in. What else you got?
Well, I mean, you know, on the heels of Green Chef, I'm going to my food, my food entries here. I'll start with one that I think I've talked about on the pod already, but is very personal to me. So, but I'm going to explain it. It's plant-based cooking. I told this story on the podcast, but the treat that I arrived to after I was gone from my 3-day bachelor party is that that Laura had watched a documentary on Netflix.
Okay.
And the one about the twins, if that, I'm sure that rings a bell to some listeners out there. And
I watched the trailer for this.
Had declared that we were now vegans.
Love it. Love it. We are vegan now.
We're vegan now. Oh my, what? What?
Are you? You know,
so we backpedaled a little bit, and we are now trying to, like, our cooking at home that we do. I mentioned that we do a lot. We're trying to do almost entirely plant based cooking at home. Then when we go out, it's kind of like whatever. We'll get. So we're not trying to be vegans. We are just trying to not buy meat for ourselves at home, and do a lot more plant based. Or plant forward cooking at home.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And then while I was at the San Cristobal in Todos Santos, we ate at their new restaurant called Cosecha, and then we also ate at one of Todos Santos's like more well renowned restaurants called Jazzamango. And like my favorite dishes from both of those places, the ones that like really just kind of like blew my taste buds away, were plant based.
Yeah.
And I think about how a few years ago now, like 11 Madison Park, basically the best restaurant in America, and then Noma, widely considered the best restaurant in the world, like are fully plant-based now. And the reason that they said that they were doing that, or at least for 11 Madison Park, is because they were basically like, meat is a cheat code. If you really want to prove that you're an amazing chef, cook, like, do it with plants.
I kind of love it.
And like, you just get, especially with, like, Mexican food, you know, like, people joke about how, like if you go to Matzal Rancho, right, everything is basically the same ingredients, just fixed in a different way. So it all kind of tastes the same. Well, like, once you start doing, like, a dish that's just, like, cauliflower and cactus and pepper and, like, mushroom, like, that tastes different.
Yeah.
That is where you get, like, the differentiations and some stuff that can really take you to a different level. So I feel like more people are doing this and going this direction, as are restaurants. I'm seeing a lot more plant-based stuff on menus. And if you're willing to explore it, I think that you can find some stuff that tastes new. So that's why I have it on here.
That was the most fun part of doing pescatarian. I did it pretty much. I would say, if I actually had to put a number on it, I think I was pescatarian about 95% of the time between January of last year and October. I really didn't break very much.
Yeah.
And when I did, I made sure it was like for like one or two meals on the same day. And I barely broke. It allowed me to explore the menus and realize how many good vegetable dishes there are places.
Yep. Yep.
But also, just in talking about that with friends and stuff, and so many people said, oh yeah, we've definitely made an effort to stop making meat around the, like, our place. We don't make red meat at our place hardly ever. If we're getting burgers, we go out and get it. We don't make steak at home, blah, blah, blah. And like, the amount of people that identified with that and said it, I also think a lot of people said it to me just to like say they did. And I don't actually believe that they acted like that, but it was just a very, that was the most common reaction. Like, yeah, we've been trying to cut out that too. And I'm going through a huge meat phase right now. Like, I'm leaning into it. I'm enjoying meat and I'm eating a ton of it, probably too much. But I know that it's probably like, this will buck me and I'll go back to not eating meat for a while.
Yeah. And I'll caveat, like I said, when we're out, we still order meat stuff. And I had an amazing burger on the trip, like amazing beef quesadilla and beef taco type stuff. So it's not saying that I'm out on meat either. It's just that I have really found like my favorite stuff right now. Like, the stuff that is kind of blowing my mind is happens to be plant-based. So.
Well, I don't have anything. I don't have anything too food-driven outside of people just talking about replacing espresso martinis with carajillos. Even though I don't see people actually doing it in practice, it's making me annoyed. I've been trying to get people on the carajillo train for a while now.
Yeah,
I learned about them probably 2017, 2018.
Okay,
and Sally and I always joked about getting them because it was kind of a bit with some of her friends that we'd get them. And now they're actually like, I mean, they're all over Instagram if you're like, if you're in the cocktail algorithm. And I feel like people are trying to replace it. But I also don't have faith that if I went to any restaurant in Austin right now and I said, I'll do a carajillo, like, and if I explained to them Liquor 43, I don't think I'm going to get it every single time. And so I need more people to put their money where their mouth is and stop talking about it and start being about it.
Start being about it. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I like the idea of replacing these. It's fun.
Okay. I need to put a little bit of pressure on myself and actually order a carajillo.
They're delightful.
Because I'm one of these people that, like, maybe I'll talk about it. Like, oh yeah, that sounds good. I'm interested to try something that's maybe a little bit less going, like not going to get me quite as turnt, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm there and I'm just like, yeah, give me that espresso martini,
it's,
baby.
It's very rare to see someone not partake in a round of espresso martinis intentionally. No one has ever turned it down and been like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
That's a hard trend to kill, man. They're good.
It's a hard trend to kill. It's a really fun thing to do to close out the meal.
I think ATS Cocina has them. I had them with Brett one time. They're delicious.
Yeah, they're so good. Yeah. They're so good. Try it. And like, force your local restaurant to get Liquor 43 if they haven't already. Just do it.
Well, here's where I've included your like a version of yours from the end of the year. You had analog on your in list. I have dialed that in a little bit further, and we did talk about film, but to go even further now, Polaroids and disposable cameras. Mm-hmm. These are everywhere. I have very few photos on my phone from our little mini moon. Because I was carrying around with me a disposable camera as well as like a Polaroid Instax. And I was much more invested.
It's fun.
In getting the shots from those cameras. And like, now I've started to get, I got the disposable developed, and like, the look is just so fun. You're getting this more analog vintage film look. There were multiple other people at the hotel that were also carrying around disposables. Mm-hmm. My old friend who's like a kind of a well-known interior designer, Claire Zinnaker, like I have seen on her Instagram that she's been walking around with a Polaroid camera. Like, so this is just, this is definitely, I think that it was really kind of like popping off. I know that Brett at Wash Media has been doing the disposable thing on trips that he's been going on mm-hmm. for a little while now. And I'm just kind of like latching onto it, but it's fun. And I don't think this will slow down in 2024. Like I think that this idea of capturing stuff on film, especially these very accessible, easy ones like Polaroids and disposables will continue to be a thing.
I've got film arriving at my place today for our trip tomorrow. Can't wait to do it. I'm going to the Masters this year. I'm going to a practice round on the Tuesday. And I'm really excited to bring a film camera. You can bring a film camera out there and take photos. And like, I'm legitimately so excited to like take a camera out and take pictures of Augusta National Golf Course. It's just going to be so much fun for me.
That will be very cool.
I can't wait. I have reading on here. We know that people are just, the boys are reading, dude.
It's huge.
Or
it's
just
huge.
Pretending. No, actually I wish I would have put like reading or pretending to read. Cause I think both qualify here. Just get some books in your life.
Right. Yeah.
My final one was is saying we love when you're talking about yourself. Just instead of saying like, oh, I like that. Like, oh, we are loving that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like it's catching on with people that I hang out with, and people are like, they're massaging it into their
That probably
isms.
Means it's almost over, though.
Yeah, probably. We're old.
Because I do feel like this is like, I this is one of those ones that I'm sure like started with Gen Zs, but now all the millennial reels makers and TikTokers are saying it. Mm-hmm. And so, this you might find this on your out list after the end of the summer.
I think one of the most satisfying things is having something on your in list and then getting to put it on your out list later.
The last thing on mine is another food one. It's just pastry content. I cannot tap that heart button fast enough when either like somebody making a dessert or doing a dessert recipe comes across my feed, or just somebody like posting like an amazing looking, like just like flaky layers, perfect lamination, croissants, cinnamon rolls, like whatever you got out there. Now, and I am, everybody knows this about me, but I'm a certified pastry boy. I love pastries. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite thing about like the weekends, like going and getting coffee and dialing up a Queen Amon at a Swedish Hill or something like that. But give me more of it, you know? Like,
do you follow?
Y'all post your pastries out there, man.
Do you follow bref.france on Instagram?
I don't think I do.
I think you should.
Okay.
They do a game where they will find a French person. And they have just their perfect French accent. And they say, they pretty much play either or. And so they'll say croissant or... what I don't know. What's a pastry? I don't eat many pastries. Or they'll say like croissant or scone. Croissant. Then they'll keep going until they finally land on the final one. And it's for some reason the most satisfying content seeing French people choose their favorite pastries. It is just a delight.
This is bref.france?
BREF.france.
Okay. But it seems like they do. Is it always pastries?
No, but the pastry ones, I think the pastry ones mostly hit my timeline. I think they're more popular than some of the other ones. Yeah, and so I think I see them more. But
I'll check this out.
It's pretty satisfying. It's a great account. And they might collab post with other people. I don't know if that's the actual account, but you can find the stuff there. Right. But yeah, I have a ton. I think just naturally having the Sunday Scaries account gives me a lot of pastry stuff anyway, but I do see a lot of it. Is it time to get hateful on some outs?
Yeah, let's go with our outs. Let's just start salting everybody.
Y'all got to stop putting songs on your Instagram carousels. This is Instagram here, okay? Like, if I'm not in Reels, I don't want audio. I don't want to be in public and suddenly have some song blasting because you decided to put up, like, a carousel from your vacation. It's jarring. I don't like it. It's chuggy. Stop it.
This is huge.
It's a pandemic.
And, I mean... You're probably going to have to apologize to Laura, who just posted for the first time on Instagram in forever to post a first round of wedding photos and definitely did this.
Nope, I'm adding everybody. No one is safe. Stop putting songs on it. It scares me. I don't like it. It interrupts my Spotify.
I wonder how this happened, though.
MySpace.
I don't know. It's like, I feel like somebody somewhere figured out that it juiced your post on the algo.
It probably does. It probably does. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So
if you put on some trending audio, I'm sure it helps you a little bit.
It's kind of like a hack to get the trending audio without having to make a reel almost.
If you want to use audio, make a reel. Be a real one.
This came out of nowhere though. Okay. While we're doing our most outrageous, hottest takes here, I've got one for you. Jeremy Allen White's fits.
You're out?
Yeah. Look, I won't lie to you.
I will listen to this.
They sucked me in at first. I don't know how this guy is on everybody's algorithm all the time right now.
Do you think he's hiring? Do you think are they hired Paps?
I don't know. They're doing something. Speaking of who has juice on the algorithm, he definitely does.
Can I speak totally out of school on something right now? Like, wasn't he going through a divorce or something? And I saw some messy headlines about it. And I feel like ever since then, the only things I see about him are bear updates and him carrying flowers at farmers markets. I'm not saying they're connected, but I'm just saying, like, you could convince me they're covering up something, but he also seems like a pretty chill dude. I don't really know anything about him.
His love life has definitely been part of his kind of explosion here on the algo. He did break up with his wife, who they have a small child. And then he dated some models and stuff, and now he's like with Rosalia, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's out there, he's making moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I get why people are drawn to his look. And the first thing that I will say is that his vibe is good. I like the jaw vibe. He is a little messy, he's a little dirty, he's constantly smoking a cigarette. Speaking of people with cool tattoos, he's got them.
He's a tat guy.
But the fits are not like,
you know,
this is not how I want to look.
I think you've pulled the wool off of my eyes. Like, if you cover up his face in these outfits.
I think what people are catching on to, and why people are suddenly gassing this up so much, is because they are so approachable.
Yeah.
Like, they are so rumpled. He is just pulling stuff, random stuff out of the laundry basket, tossing them on over like a shredded white tank top.
Mm-hmm.
But like all of his white sneakers, they're all cooked.
Yeah.
All cooked.
They look like shit.
I don't like any of his shoes.
Yeah, the shoes are not great.
He like sags a little too much.
Can we at least put some respect on putting the tulips in the Bodie bag? Like, just put a little respect on him for repurposing his Bodie bag.
The Bodie bag is the best piece about that fit.
It really is. His hat looks like it smells.
The nasty ass Mets hat that he keeps wearing, like, it's just very, it's fine. It's what it is. But like the striped shirt, I liked it. It was too long for him.
It is too long for him.
It accentuated that, that he's a short king. It
needs to be cropped a little bit.
It should have been a little bit more
cropped. I like the raw hem on the jeans.
But
I'm not in love with it on this, like in the iteration.
I appreciate the vibe. It's not that his clothes are bad or that the fits are bad. I've been surprised at how much love they've been getting. Like he's some new like style icon.
He's a baby girl, dude.
Pull up the fits of Austin Butler or Jacob Elordi or Paul Mescal or,
oh, don't even get me started on Austin Butler.
Or even like let me include my fellow short kings out there too. But like Tom Holland, Timothée Chalamet, like these guys get fits off too. You don't have to be tall and statuesque to do it. I don't know. It's fine. They're fine. They're not like the hottest fits in the world. And I feel like Mugatu taking crazy pills over here.
You can say anything you want about Austin Butler, but I'm going to parlay that straight into my number two out. And that's ALO hats or aloe hats, whatever it's called.
Aloe?
Fucking hate these things. I recently went to a concert, and before the concert, I went to a bar. It was the first time I'd been to a bar in downtown Austin on a Friday or Saturday night in a really, really long time. So I really hadn't been amongst the young crowd in a long time. The amount of dudes who were wearing generic ALO hats just made me sick. I was like, guys, you're all showing up to the bar wearing the exact same hat. Why are you doing this? Now we got Austin Butler like training for some movie, shooting things, and he's wearing an ALO hat. I just don't get it. Like, I don't actually think that you're shopping there. I think you just see that like dudes are wearing the hat and then you go buy one. And you don't even like wear the other clothing.
Are you sure that Austin Butler was wearing one?
Did I see a Photoshop of it and it wasn't?
I don't know. I can't find it, but maybe it wasn't tagged as such. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me see. I just typed in Austin Butler. No, it wasn't one. I think I saw the throwing fits Photoshop. I think it was a Photoshop that I saw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They Photoshopped an ALO, but it's so bad. And I'm glad that they've honed in on making fun of it because I was shocked. The table behind us had six dudes at it. Four of them had ALO hats on.
Wow.
And I was just like, why? Like, this is so not cool. Like, it's just not cool to wear the same thing If you're wearing the same like jacket as one of your friends, that's kind of a coincidence in my eyes. If you're wearing the same hat, that just shows me that you guys latched onto something and you didn't have like your own individual take on it, especially if it's a hat from a brand like that.
Do you think is Aloe Trucker Hat Guy and Gorin Brothers Trucker Hat Guy, are these the same guy? Are they connected? Are they different?
I think they can roll in the same crew and coexist, but I don't think it's the same guy.
Okay.
I think it might be the guy that considers himself like this guy doesn't, he doesn't golf with the other guys on the weekend.
The Aloe Hat Guy?
Guy's playing golf on the weekend.
Okay. Yeah.
This guy's day drinking and meeting up with them after their golf round.
Okay. Are you familiar with melon hats?
This sounds really familiar.
Okay. This is another golf guy thing. But cool younger golf guy who's down with spending $90 on a performance hat.
Yeah.
So let's get to, where's one? Like that. There's one. There's the. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not into it. I'm not a hat guy though. You have to take my word about hats with a grain of salt because I really don't wear a hat unless I'm playing golf. Or I'm at a pool.
I think you're right. I think you're right about the difference between the Gorin Brothers and the Aloe Hat Guy. I think Aloe Hat Guy and Melon Hat Guy are definitely the same.
Yeah,
and
they're the
is
same.
It's the brand of like younger bro.
It's very bro-y. It's very bro-y.
That definitely loves golf and yeah.
Just go get a Unisphere hat like everybody else, dude.
Yeah. I think Aloe Hat Guy is like one step away from discovering ALD.
He's on his way. He's one girlfriend away from her being like, you need to stop wearing this, wear this. And like suddenly he's dressing. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. 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 That's perfect. Yeah. He's one step away.
I'll use that to segue. I always like to include something about sports here. Out. Professional golf.
Yeah, it stinks.
Masters, I'm giving a pass because they've currently, as it stands now, they have figured out a way to bring the best players together to play a round of golf, which is what the fans want. So please, for the love of God, somebody somewhere figure this shit out because both are awful.
All the golf guys in my life are out on watching professional golf. Like it's not good.
This is terrible for me because My wife, which I now get to say, like the one sport that she is like very cool with me having on is golf. It's eye rolls on every other sport that I'm trying to watch. Golf gets the pass.
She's not a Stroud boy?
She's not a Stroud boy. And like a few weeks ago, I don't remember which tournament it was on, but like when she can look at the leaderboard and be like, who are these
guys? It's not good.
That's not good.
It's not good.
Like she knows the names and the names are not on the board. Mm-hmm. And that's bad. And I'm not going to watch LIV Golf. By the way, Jon Rahm, just because you can wear shorts now does not mean that you should.
There's some guys that just should not be doing it.
It's too far. We're too far into the pants thing on for professional golfers. I don't want to see
it's still
calves.
Jarring. It's still jarring.
I really don't want to see it. Just wear the pants. You look much.
I kind of want to see Phil's. Phil's got good calves, though. You know, it's hard.
End of rant. It's just a travesty because, like, I could honestly see professional golf kind of like dying out here in a way.
Yeah.
Like the way that most of our listeners probably don't know this. You know, boxing was like a huge sport that everybody paid attention to in the 80s and 90s.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And now, yeah.
And then this basically happened to boxing where like they fractured. There three different belts and like different people were like, nah, we're the professional league. Yeah. So you had to like win all the belts. And then there was matches that unified and it just became like a bunch of bullshit and everybody stopped caring. And that I'm worried that is happening here. This is not a sports podcast, but I feel like golf is a very relevant sport to retail therapy.
Yeah.
And it stinks what's happening to it because it's becoming unwatchable.
I do think that there's like there's been a renewed interest in the actual game playing of golf, and I hope that that keeps on going up, and that the lack of engaging professional golf, I hope that doesn't stop people from playing because I did love the fact that the pandemic did get a lot of people out there. It's just great, and yeah, but it's never been a worse time to be a professional golf fan.
Yeah.
It's just not something I care about. I hate your last one on here. What's your problem?
You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got on my outlist vintage and thrifting.
They're in my eyes, these are two different things. So you're hating on two different things in my eyes right now.
Okay.
But I can't ride that hard for this.
But by and large, when and here let me get it pulled up. But when GQ has latched on to a trend and does like a full Instagram carousel about it, like that's one thing that alerts you to the fact that it's very close to being over. And this is, I like GQ, no shots, but as a what do you call it, like a heritage media company,
like a blue blood,
yeah, like they don't move as fast. And so when even GQ is posting how to thrift your way to victory,
yeah,
like,
and why are they saying skip the tees?
Like, don't waste your time with vintage tees. Basically, it's like you're not going to find anything good.
If you're going to a vintage store, no, you're not. But if you're willing to go online and pay $200, then yes, you will.
So that's another piece of what's wrong right now.
Yeah,
is that this has become so popular. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's all over my algorithm. There's so many reels of people going, like, rifling through their local Goodwill. So many reels about, like, oh, this is the best place to thrift and vintage shop in your in blah 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 area. Like, a bunch of fashion influencers are doing it. So now, like, the vintage shops and the thrift stores, like, they're too curated. The vintage shops are.
Mm-hmm.
So going in, like, you had your pair of camo pants that you pulled up on eBay the other day,
$300,
nearly $300. So I'll caveat this just by saying, like, I get the intention. I do think that vintage and thrifting is cool, but we've gone well past peak vintage and thrift now. And to the point where, like, I think people, especially young people, think that they can just buy a bunch of vintage stuff and put that all on and that's a look. And it's not a good one.
That's fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, the price inflation on it is, like, horrible. It's ridiculous that people are paying so much money for things that are, like, secondhand that should not be that much. That's not how this is supposed to work.
So I don't want to take away, like, it's very easy for me to, you know, I want to be careful with my words because obviously some people like that, that's how they can get new fun stuff is by going thrifting. I understand that. And I'm all for that. But, like, those people are the ones that are probably being screwed the most.
Yeah, they're probably getting priced out by, like,
by fucking GQ talking about how to thrift your way to victory at your local Goodwill.
There's different types of thrifting. Like, it depends on who you are. Like, it depends on where you're going to and what you're doing. And a lot of places just don't have much. Like, it's just not a fun thing. Probably because all the things that you'd want or that are engaging to you if you're interested in fashion are just going to be priced outrageously somewhere else.
Yeah.
I just got on Instagram to go to the GQ page to see what you were talking about. And the first things that popped up my Instagram where a girl revealing her new party tattoo, and then I scrolled down and it's cannolis covered in caviar.
Okay,
we're not doing cannoli and caviar. Like,
sounds like we are.
No, we're not. It's just we're over caviaring, and I think I had that on an in or out thing recently, and it's too much.
I'll add to the vintage thrifting thing too is, like, I still think it's big. It's huge now because if you go to, like, Abercrombie and, like, PacSun, every single one of their new, like, t-shirt designs are vintage designs, but they're new shirts.
Yeah, that pisses me off. I was in a vintage store the other day and I found a Grateful Dead shirt. And because, like, I wanted Sally to have, like, a vintage thing for the Sphere, I took a photo of it and sent it to her, like, do you want this? It's a pretty good price. And then as I started looking into it more, the shirt was printed in 2019. Right. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's I'm not paying $50 for a shirt that was made in 2019 that was just worn to shit to make it look like it's from the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their new designs are just kind of diluting the market.
It's really bad.
That's the real problem is that it's just oversaturated. Too many people are talking about it. Too many people are in on it. And it's just kind of, like, ruined the fun about vintage and about thrifting. So I'm not that's why I have it on my out list, because I think it's just time to pull back from this and kind of let it cool off a little bit, because it's not fun right now. Let's hear your last one.
Common Projects-y sneakers.
Yeah.
This is, like, I'm not saying, I don't dislike Common Projects sneakers. I actually really do like them. I think I refuse to pay the price for them. But I have heard the price is justified they're great. But, like, in terms of that blank sneaker, I just think that it's not the fashion forward choice anymore. You're not going to be looked at as fashionable because you have a pair on. You're going to be you're going to give fashionable if you're wearing a reflective pair of New Balances or something like that.
That's true. Do you know who loves Common Projects right now?
Who?
Aloe Hat Guy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. That is exactly it.
I think they still serve a purpose, and kind of going to your saying skinny jeans are coming back with no intention of wearing them. I almost feel like Common Projects are a little bit in that zone too right now, because they've super fashion forward people have kind of been poo-pooing the low profile, slim, kind of like quote unquote dress sneaker for a while now. I honestly could see them coming back a little bit more to tie it one more time and did like the dressing nice thing. I think that dressing nice means a shoe or a boot or a lace up or a loafer or some type of slipper or something like that. That's what it means to me right now. But eventually I definitely could see that morphing back to kind of like bring in Common Projects again.
Yeah. And I think Common Projects is so, stripped down in terms of like style that it can pair well with a lot of things.
It can't, yeah.
But
can,
I just don't, can. If you're trying to be fashion forward, your money is better spent somewhere else.
And I do agree with that. It's not, they are not the most fashion forward choice at
this
point. Yeah,
but I'm not going to criticize someone for wearing them because I still think they have a place. My biggest issue with Common Projects is that I want them to, like, they need to make more black sneakers with a gum sole. Like, I don't like the black sneaker with the black sole. It's as someone who worked in restaurants for a while, it's just very restaurant-y. It feels like you're a server, and I don't want to look like that when I'm out on the town. And so it's like, I wish they'd do a little bit more, but I also understand that their entire ethos is kind of doing a little bit less, and that's okay. But like I said, like if you want to spend money on a pair of sneakers that is going to hopefully make people turn their head, the Common Projects aren't going to move the needle as much anymore as some other sneakers are, whether you like them or not. And unfortunately for me, I don't see myself wearing the sneakers that are currently like the hottest sneakers. And so I almost feel like I'd be more in the Common Projects lane, but I also am not the coolest person at all times. So it does not matter.
Yeah. That's a great segue into one of my other outs, which is Nike. I'm a huge Nike loyalist. I still shop at Nike. They are my go-to gym brand for the most part as well. But I'm not breaking any news here. There was a Business of Fashion article released in February, titled "How Nike Ran Off Course." I think at the end of 2023, they had to slash 1,600 jobs. The stock price crashed. They announced $2 billion in cuts. Yada yada. But more than that, I actually haven't even read this entire article, so I might be just repeating stuff that's in it. But I don't understand, and this is almost like, this is not that Nike is out and Adidas is in for me, or Nike is out and ASICS is in right now. Like, it's not, I'm not even like...
It's not an either or.
Yeah, it's not really like an either or. It's that I don't understand how a company like Nike doesn't learn to adapt more. Or I don't understand how they don't see what's happening in the market quicker than it seems like they do.
Are they too big to move quickly?
Maybe, but learn how to do it. Like, that's like, why do you like Abercrombie and Zara and these places that are able to respond to trends so quickly, but in a way that is like where there's still like a value there and a quality there. Like, that's why they're successful and popular. And I don't understand, like. But what I'm thinking about here is what over the course of like 2022 and 2023, as the Air Jordan 1 was very clearly had peaked, was falling off, and they just kept releasing new colors. Every month there was a new color. Meanwhile, GQ since 2021 has been writing every summer about how the Samba is the shoe of the summer.
Yes.
Like, it's 2024 now, and Nike doesn't have a response. Nike does not have a Samba competitor.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, like...
How is that possible?
But they've never had a Samba competitor. Like, I don't know. Like, they're...
You're the Nike, Samba, you can't for me, make
is
a, one?
It's like a kick-around shoe, whereas, like, they've always been... I feel like they've always been known for, like, the statement shoes that they have, as opposed to, like, their more...
Yeah.
Like, Adidas has always had Sambas and Stan Smiths that kind of cover this, like, basics game, like, this basics, like, everything. Whereas Nike, for me, if I bought a pair of Nikes, it was probably going to be a shoe that was a little more, like... Not like I was afraid to get them a little dirtier, but I don't wear a ton of sneakers.
Yeah.
And I'm not loyal. I get called out all the time for having the Adidas symbol on my side, and like, and Nike's on, or vice versa. And like, I get why people don't like that. I don't think about that just because I'm not really in that game, but it's hard for me to weigh in because I simply don't pay attention to sneakers enough these days.
Yeah.
Especially like Nike sneakers and Adidas and stuff. It's not something I truly like care about at this point because I've played that game before. I've been in the sneakers app. I've been doing that kind of stuff, and I don't like what it turns me into. suddenly I'm like looking at resale stuff for Yeezys that I never needed in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that the sneakers app is doing all that hot right now.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And that's and that's kind of what it boils down to, is I'm just surprised. And I get, like, the development process for sneakers is long, I'm sure. It's much harder to design a new pair of sneakers than it is to design a new t-shirt. But, like, you know, you're worth billions of dollars, and you can't figure out, like, a certain team whose job it is to be nimble and fast and bring stuff to market. It's always surprising to me, you know, when these companies kind of, like, trade places or give up market share, that they didn't see some stuff coming, because, like, the general public could have told you that.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Every time I go to Nike.com or Adidas.com, I leave thinking, like, how did I not find something I wanted?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. How can I go there willing to spend money on, and I'll go back to the golf stuff, like, willing to spend money on golf shoes and leave the site feeling like there are no good looking golf shoes in the world? Like, yeah. It's just wild to me that it doesn't work in a fast manner.
Well, I know we're running up on time here. The last thing that I have on my outs, Will, is daylight savings time.
If there was a vote to get rid of daylight savings time, I would go vote against it.
This is more of this is almost more of a PSA for everybody, because I think people get this confused. You want regular time. You do not want permanent daylight savings time. That's bad. If you go permanent daylight savings time, you are going to be waking up at some point over the, like, it's bad for your mornings. And the sunset is not that much different.
Okay.
Like, people like daylight savings time because we get sun till 9 p.m. during the summer, right?
Yeah.
We don't need sun till 9 p.m. during the summer.
No.
8 p.m. isn't good enough for you people?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
It's fine.
Like, I just don't want to switch the clocks ever. Don't make me switch clocks ever.
Okay, yes. And I that's first and foremost, we got to stop.
We got to stop.
We are a civilized society. Daylight savings time is the spring forward is approaching us. It fucks everybody. It's terrible for everybody. And we don't need it. The sun is already not setting until like 6:40 here in early March. We're going to be at 8 p.m. by May, June. Like, it's fine. Like, let's just stay. Let's just get it done.
I'm
tired of falling back and springing forward.
Barrett, I want to take this even further. And this is probably my Will's half-baked idea of the episode. I want there to be a world clock. I don't understand why we need to be on different time zones. Like, just make a world clock and just everyone's on the same time.
But you just sleep at different hours?
Yes.
Like,
you just operate on a different schedule. Oh, those Americans, they're always asleep from this time to this time. And so, we'll eventually learn. Like, we don't have to go through. If I'm looking at a flight, I don't need to be like, hold on, how many hours different? Okay. And figure that out. I don't need to look. If I look at a UK website with some soccer stuff on there, oh, this game starts at 16:30. I don't know what the fuck that means in terms of my stuff. Not only do I have to translate it from army time, I have to go back and figure it. Like, okay. It's just, okay. No, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Give me a world clock. Put everyone on the same level and we can sort it out later.
Okay.
No time zones anymore.
This is interesting. This is
never interesting again
idea.
Do we have to sit there scheduling a meeting for a Zoom and be like, oh, I'm good at this time, central time. Are you like Pacific time, whatever? Like, no, let's like, just.
I feel like there is a reason I'm not thinking of that won't work.
But it definitely is.
I like that you're thinking outside the box.
I think
Will.
It's because the way the Earth rotates and a day starts differently at like the other side of the world.
Yeah.
That's why like Japan is in a new year, like many hours before.
Well, right, but theoretically, I see what you're saying.
So
yeah.
It's like the whole calendar would get messed
up. On New Year's Eve, we all celebrate the exact same time and the world glitches out because everyone's using all the power that we need. It's just a different deal.
Randy, I feel like you were going to say something.
I personally prefer us being in daylight time because
permanent daylight time.
It's not the summer; it's later. It's the winter that the sun's like when it's 4:00 and the sun is already set. Like that's the part to me.
But
that sticks.
Okay, but
especially in like the Midwest,
the Midwest it breaks your spirit.
Yeah, our perspective here in Texas is definitely different. But like, I guess my point is that on it is that like. In the winter, in the dead of winter, is the sun setting at 5:30 any better than like it setting at 4:30? Really?
Like, well, a little bit. When you're at work and you go to work and it's just pitch black.
No, Randy's making a good point.
And it's pitch black. You're leaving, like, oh, I didn't see the sun today.
Leaving work at 5 o'clock and having it be pitch black outside in the middle of wintertime in the Midwest is one of the most depressing things you can do.
There's arguments for keeping each time. I just fully agree with you that we should get rid of
daylight savings time. I will, like, you know, if I was out there in on Cap Hill, right? Like, I would let the lobbyists sway me either way. That it just let's just get the votes and stop.
Didn't Jonah promise this in Veep?
I think it passed in
And at one point, either the House or the Senate unanimously passed something to get to stop.
Let's
this
ride.
And then they just never put it on. Never put it on the floor.
I think maybe like the House pass it and then Congress or.
The other one just never even put it on the floor. Something like that. So, hey, Congress, get something done.
Figure it out.
Bunch of jabronis.
Hey, Barrett, if you don't have a wish list item, now's your cue to find one.
Okay.
Because today's wish list items are presented by our friends over at Early Bird CBD.
Ooh.
Big fan of these guys. The other night, I had a little pain in my shoulders. My son was crawling on me all morning, and I just wasn't feeling great. And I was like, you know what? I'd love to sink into my bed right now, really get my relax on. I'm going to go take an early bird. I did something bad, boy. I took two early birds because I knew that I was
down
bad.
Are you allowed to do that?
You're allowed to do that.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with them, it's around 2.5 milligrams of natural THC and around 12.5 milligrams of CBD in each gummy. These are formulated for fun and to make you feel good. It doesn't make you feel like you're out of your mind going crazy like you can feel like with some edibles that you buy at a gas station. Not these ones. These things are about 2.5 milligrams each, and it's just great. It makes you feel like you're there's different use cases for it. For me, it was I wanted to relax. I know Randy takes them before a night out, and I respect the hell out of that. I'll take them before a night out once in a while.
Randy.
Yep, he's crazy. Go check these guys out. These guys are a local Austin company. I've seen their company start to now. It's been a great experience. And I just love these things. Anytime we recommend them to somebody, they always want more. Get 20% off your first purchase with promo code WIX at earlybirdcbd.com. Again, that's promo code WIX, WICKS, at earlybirdcbd.com for 20% off. That is a one-time use code. So if you are going to do it, load the cart because you're going to want to go back for more. So get numerous bottles or even get some sample packs if you're feeling wild. Do you have any wish list items for me, Barrett?
Okay, yeah. Here's my wish list item for today. Quick story. Back in 2015, maybe 16, we were very bullish on a brand that has come up on this podcast numerous times called Outdoor Voices.
Yes, I did not expect Outdoor Voices to. I could have expected them to come up on this episode in a different manner than this.
Well, just wait.
Okay,
We're not to the wish list item yet.
Okay.
They had a pair of shorts called the Sunday shorts.
Yep.
Which were amazing. Like, they're like a stretchy kind of thick knit material. They're like not a gym short, but they're not a sweat short. And I have got like four pairs of them. And they're like for years now, for the better part of a decade, they've been like my go-to like house shorts / I'm running out for go to the dog park shorts / do everything. And I saw a picture of me wearing them the other day. And the fact of the matter is they're too big. They're too big now. They're too long. I feel like call back to the Jeremy Allen White shirt. I feel like they're making me look short.
It's 7.5-inch inseam.
And they're like 7.5 or 8-inch inseam.
Yeah.
And I need a little more leg showing.
I've legitimately thought about getting mine shortened.
And so I've thought about that as well. That seems like a lot of work, but I've looked for alternatives because I don't think OV does not make the Sunday short anymore. I don't believe. And even if they did, I don't think they shorten the inseam on them. So I was searching again this week because this happened to me recently where I saw these photos of myself and I was like, I got to stop wearing these. And so I think that I have identified, Lululemon is now doing something comparable. This is the soft jersey short.
Okay.
They make it in 5-inch, which I'd like to try first.
I need a different color on the screen and I need a close up of the material.
But also a 7-inch.
Oh,
and yeah. The blend is like a poly elastic or a poly spandex, which I believe is what the Sunday shorts wore. Product features. Let's see. Here we go. Fabric. What are we dealing with here? I don't know.
I have some shorts from Lulu that are they're not as Sunday shorty feeling. They are more of a, athletic, like I would actually wear them to go work out in.
Right.
But they are this like stretchy kind of material that does have the same vibe as the Sunday short material.
Okay.
And I went through a period of wearing them all the time and they've simply fallen to the back of my drawer and they're just not at the top of the rotation right now. But it's a very comparable short that is, it's a 5-inch inseam. So they're short boys. I mean, they're riding up there.
Is it the bowline? Do you think it's the bowline short?
No, I do have those as well. Okay. Those are more like techie, like you could spill water on yourself and like brush them off, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I forget what these are called.
Okay.
I don't even think they sell them anymore because I went back to get more and they weren't there.
Well,
these do look like a good comp.
I'm off to check these out very, very soon because that's just at the top of my list right now. I wear Sunday shorts all the time. Like they really are like a go-to. Like it's too hot here too often to like have sweat shorts as your go-to.
Yeah.
That would be the best. Like I like the versatility and like casual / sporty nature of those, but they don't really work starting about now when it's 90 degrees in March. But yeah, I gotta get something shorter. So this is at the top of my list.
I had sweat shorts on the other day and Will flame me for them.
They're not, your sweat shorts are very revealing, Randy. You're sure they're very short.
Are you slut shaming Randy
right
now?
No.
I got some 5-inch Fabletics shorts recently too. I really like those.
Okay. But Fabletics, they're probably more like sporty athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's hard is finding a short that's not a sweat short, but not like a full on like gym short.
I've been wearing a pair of shorts from a company called Cadets. Have you seen these guys? Uh-huh. They're called Cadets. They actually reached out to me because they make shorts for like toddlers. And they were like, we'd love to send you some shorts for your son. And I was like, absolutely, let's do it. And I saw that they had this nice terry cloth interior on them. And they just looked really kind of nice and comfortable. And they have a built-in liner, which I know some people don't like, some people do. I actually prefer it sometimes if it's not too tight. And I bought them and they've been my go-to lounge around the house short. They're very short. They're like 5 inches or maybe like, I think they're 5 inches.
Cadets. Okay.
But they have a, like the terry cloth inside immediately turns them away from being a like workout short for mm-hmm, me to mm-hmm. being a straight up lounge short. And they like, they have a good swimsuit. I don't want to say it's like the most fashion forward. It's kind of like, they do feel a little daddy to me, but when you're chilling around the house,
yeah,
standards are low for being fashion forward, you know? Sure. But those have been my go-to for chilling shorts as of late.
Yeah. And if listeners out there have any alts, like I'm all ears. There's a Buck Mason pair that looks cool, but again, like I know, like it says in the description that they're like water repellent, and like I'm trying to get comfy on the couch.
If you move on the couch, you don't want noise.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Like, oh
yeah,
yeah. I don't know what the opposite of an imminent cop is, but that's what I have today.
What do you have?
I do not have a cop that is imminent. This is a cop that's like a get the bag. I'm going to upgrade myself and I'm going to go with what I talked about earlier. I want a new pair of loafers. I want a new pair of non-black loafers and I honestly want to go Belgian with it again. They've raised the price since I got mine. So it's much more difficult. It's much tougher to swallow, but I love them and I want to get another pair that I can wear around and I can make them much more casual and I can massage them into my normal routine without feeling like I'm ruining something I love, which is my black pair.
Now what are these going to be? The Mr. Casuals?
I like the Mr. Casual. I got a rubber sole put on the bottom of mine after wearing them for way too long. You're supposed to do it after like, I think like 2 months or something. You go get the rubber sole put on. But since I did that, it feels like I have a brand new shoe. Like the structure of it just feels really good. They cleaned them up for me. It's just, they last a long time and I want to get a brown pair because I feel like brown would just go well with a lot of the things that I currently wear. My issue is that all the shoes on Belgian have black piping on the brown pairs.
Yeah.
And I don't love it. Mm-hmm, I wish they would just do a brown one. And that would really change my urgency. If they did like a drop of shoes, which they're not going to do, that was like not the black piping, I'd be more into it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go the Del Toro route because I think I would always wish that I had splurged for these.
Yeah.
Even though Del Toro does do the more like just all brown or all whatever. But these are owning real estate in my head simply because I love mine so much. But again, this is not an imminent cop in any sort of the word. So I don't know if this will happen. It's more just hoping that maybe my wife will see this on the wish list around Christmas time, go to my closet, go in my Belgian shoes bag, look at the size and be like, okay, I'm going to do this again.
So which ones are like closest to what you want though?
The Mr. Casual. So okay, if you click in there,
okay, all right.
If you click in the Mr. Casual, they've got the calf is probably the most classic one that you see everyone doing, and I think that's probably what I would do, just because I think the lack of texture on the shoe kind of makes it a little less like head turning a little bit. Okay. And so they have like ostrich. They have like a lizard print, like imprint,
yeah,
stamping, and those kind of things. But they're all kind of glossy and sheeny. And I really want to wear these things down. I want these to look like they're my dad's beat up old loafers that I can.
So you're thinking like dark brown calf?
Yeah, I do like these. And do those have the black piping?
I mean,
it's less noticeable on the dark brown.
Right.
Okay. And so yeah, I think those would probably be my toward the top of the list of the choices.
Yeah.
But I don't see this happening for a very long time. But a boy can dream.
How about these? These are the ones you want to be wearing at the 80s mafia Italian restaurant.
That's for sure. I want Barry Keoghan to see me wearing these and be like, where'd you get those?
He owns these, actually.
Yeah,
he definitely has these.
Yeah. Well, Randy, you got some shopping to do because there's been rumors flying around that the Ame Leon doorbell is not the only thing in the studio anymore.
Okay, give me your credit card and I'll buy it.
There's rumors of a baby girl gong.
The BGG.
I could get one for $15 on Amazon.
All right. Wow. Sign me up.
I'll purchase it after this episode.
Sign me up. I might get one for just my crib.
Do you know who I actually, speaking of baby girls, I don't know if he qualifies yet or if he ever will. You know, he's kind of a he's not quite the same like type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the dudes that I was thinking about when I was thinking about my whole dressing nice thing is Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
Face of Brioni.
He's having a good run right now.
And he...
His approval rating's high.
He dresses in a very, like, tailored way. Like, a lot of, like, polos that fit him really well. Almost always wearing, like, lace-up shoes or, like, a boot of some sort and, like, a trouser. Like, very rarely do you see him, like, looking like he is walking in Soho and might be featured on Nolita Dirtbag next week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, he's not an Elordi or a Mezcal or a Kogan, but there's something about, I don't know, he's kind of like bringing back something for me a little bit.
I get it. I want to think of some older baby girl men that are like not like in their mid 20s. Outside of that Sienna Miller stuff with like Jude Law, he's like a generally loved person. I think his general appearance in The Holiday always kind of bumps him up to people and he starts getting praised online. But I also feel like some people hate him.
I think in his heyday, like he was not universally well
liked. No, I don't think he was either.
He may have cheated with the nanny, I think.
He did cheat on, okay. He cheated with Sienna Miller with the nanny, which is that, just an all-time bonehead move.
I think that eliminates you from baby girl consideration.
That's understandable.
Or if you are a baby girl and you do that, you get kicked out.
In baby girl court, you're out. you're out. Get out of here.
Which sadly was not one of the sketches on SNL.
No, we didn't even get to SNL talk. Yeah. We can do it soon.
We'll do it soon. Yeah. I've got some thoughts on SNL. I'll holster them for another podcast.
I want to talk SNL as well. It's been a top everyone's feet a lot lately. I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.